Turn over to Matthew. We'll get started here. Matthew chapter 28. We had a good weekend at Peaks. A lot of encouraging messages, a lot of encouraging conversations, and time spent with some guys. Some challenging, guys through a lot of the sermons, you're challenged to do quite a bit of stuff and to be reminded there's more to it than just going through the motions. And so I got thinking about it a little bit, and so we decided to go through this message today is what I'm going to do, and we'll see if we can tie it all together. We're gonna be bouncing around quite a bit, but hopefully in the end, if you stick with me, we'll make it all fit. Matthew chapter 28 here, this is after Jesus, resurrected from the dead, and this was right before he ascended. This is at the ascension, and this is the last, earthly, words that he gave to, the disciples. In verse 18 of Matthew chapter 28, it says, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, immersing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just pray that we can be encouraged this morning, Lord, being with the saints. Lord, I thank you for the edification that we can have with our conversation, and that we can build each other up. Lord, I pray that our study this morning is something that we can apply to our lives, something that we can and take into our week, Lord, and be encouraged to take on the battle. Lord, I thank you for the chance that we have to look into your scriptures, to look into your word, to be changed, Lord, into the people that you want us to be. Lord, I pray that that this morning we open up our minds and our hearts to you, and the wisdom that you are putting before us, that we might soak it up, Lord, and just have that put upon our hearts and our minds, that we are, that it is a part of us, Lord, that in every circumstance, we know, why we do what we do, and, why we believe what we believe. Lord, I thank you so much for your love for us, and we praise things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20, Great Commission. It's one of the neatest, verses, passages in the Bible. It's the command, man. It's what we're supposed to do. But I don't want to focus so much on this passage. But I want to focus on the levels of this real quick. So first of all, he comes and he says, "Hey, go forth and teach people and make disciples of all nations." So go out and teach them. And it says, "Immerse them in the name of the Father and Son, the Holy Spirit." But then the verse 20, it says, "And then teach them to obey all that I have commanded, or to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." It's easy, I think, for us to get in that mindset of, man, let's get more people. Let's get the evangelistic side. And that part is absolutely important. But I don't want us to forget the last half. And that's the last third, I guess, is that's to teach and to continue in the faith. And I think that there's different, parts in the restoration movement where it's like, man, let's get them dunked and let's get on to the next guy. And I don't think that that's a good idea. I think that we need to make sure that we can, get people to the water, but let's pull them out and let's get them to heaven too. It's not about getting to the water. It's about, that's the starting point. That's not the finishing. So I was thinking about this, and so we're going to kind of go through a few passages. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll start in verse 24. says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim, and I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I buffet my body and make it a slave, lest possibly after I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified. Pop over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 real quick. Verse 13. And there's a lot in this passage that we could go over, but I'm going to focus specifically on this part. He speaks, he says, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me, behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the upward goal, toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And the last one, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 11. It says, but flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of it, the eternal life to which you were called, and you made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. We're to compete. Our job is not to just go and to become Christians and then just kind of hang out. It's not a job that just allows us to just go through the motions. It's a job that requires us to compete, to work forth. You don't run a race there's people that run just to run. I think they're morons, but I don't know. I don't understand it, but running just to run, you just run. But people that run for a purpose and with a purpose, they're going to compete and they're going to reach that goal. If you just go out and run and you don't have a goal in mind, it's kind of pointless. If you just go out to work and you don't work for something for a purpose, it's kind of pointless. If you just start building something just to build something, but you don't know what you're going to finish it as, it's not going to work out very good. You have to have a purpose, but you also have to compete when you get into it. You have to fight the fight and continue on in the fight. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. This is the part I want to kind of get into. It says, you were running well. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. You were running well. Who hindered you? When we look at the Great Commission and we see the idea of teaching others and immersing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and continuing to teach them, guys, if we don't continue to teach them, if we don't continue to grow after our own immersion, if we don't continue to grow after a few years after our own immersion or 20 years after immersion, if we quit trying to grow and we can quit competing in the race, we will be hindered. He says, you were running well. This isn't even talking about somebody who wasn't a Christian. It's talking about somebody who was a Christian and who was doing well. Who hindered you? Who made you stumble? Who stopped you from competing? Who hindered you? We are not finished when we become Christians. The end goal is not to be immersed. That's the starting point. The end goal, well, we'll get into that a lot more later. But we have to have a vision of what we're running towards, what we're working towards, what we are competing for. If we, when we play sports, I think there would come a point where, if you were wrestling, if you're wrestling just to wrestle, like your body's getting beat up, you're getting hurt, it's a lot of hard work. If there's no purpose behind it, then there's no real reason to do it. And I think we look at the Christianity the same way. If we don't understand, like, why go through the motions? Why be there on Sunday mornings? Why be there, at the fellowship meals? Why spend time in the Word in the morning? Why pray? Why do all these things? If there's not a goal in mind, if there's not a prize to be won, if there's not a paradise calling our name. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 12. The writer of Hebrews says, "Take care, brethren, lest there should be any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end." Firm until the end. I've watched a few videos. There was a compilation. I think that's how you say that. Where a group of videos put together and edited into one video. Is that? I think I'm speaking right. I don't know if that's a word. But anyway, there was a group of videos compiled together of people not celebrating too soon. And you see this, and you see like the end of a marathon, and the guy's running up to the end, and he's just, you know, he's here to the wall from the finish line, and the deal's across, and you can see behind him there's somebody just sprinting as hard as they can, and he starts letting up, and he's throwing his hands up in the air, and that person passes him with, you know, 6 inches left and crosses that line. And he's the winner, because he finished strong, and the other guy celebrated too early. I see video of I saw some soccer videos where the goalie jumped out and blocked the ball and you know made a great play and jumped up and was, you know, flexing and celebrating. Meanwhile, the ball bounced back up in the air and another guy came from behind him and hit the ball and just fell right in the net. Because the finish wasn't there. He didn't totally finish. Guys, we can live our lives and we can go through the motions and we can do all of the hard work to become Christians, and we can do all of the hard work to remain faithful for a time, but if we don't finish that last bit, it's in vain. It means nothing. We have to remain faithful. We can't be casual about our walk with Christ. We have to be intentional. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Starting in verse 10. The armor of God. Verse 10, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with the truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which is the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on alert with perseverance and petition for all the saints." And it continues. I think we look at this wording and the the picture that is painted here, I think Paul's kind of serious. I think he understands that we can't just walk through the motions, that we have to be intentional, that we have to put on the armor of God, that it is not just something we walk through easily, but perseverance is going to be something that we're going to need because tribulation is coming. Tribulation is going to be there. Times are going to be tough. People are going to try and trip us up. When you get to that mile 23 or whatever the 26th that a marathon is, man, that's when things are going to get tough. I remember Nikki Mranzik from Billings. I think she did the 100-mile deal, right? Because she was going to do the 100-mile deal, and she had knee injury, so she just she decided she couldn't do that. So she did a 50-mile or something like that, which was crazy again. But she did the 100-mile thing, and she had people throughout the race to run certain miles with her to help her get through, and some were strategically put to help her set a pace on the physical side. But when it got to a certain time, the people that went with her were there specifically to keep her mentally going. Because when it comes to mile 50 and mile 60 and mile 70 and mile 80, I mean, your body doesn't do it no more. It has nothing to do with physical anymore. It's all to do with mental. It is all to do with the mindset of what am I going to, am I going to finish or am I going to stop short after all of this work? I mean, I imagine it anywhere from mile about 1.5 to 99 and 3/4, I'd be like, dude, what are we doing here? You know, but when you get to that point and the finish line is there and you can see the finish line, you will reach the finish line. But if you can't picture that finish line at mile 75, if you don't have the mindset that I'm going to get there at mile 75, you are not going to make it to mile 90. You're not going to make it to mile 95. You're not going to make it to the point where you can actually physically see it. Have a purpose, and we have to be intentional about staying on the path and staying on the course. We must fight. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's start in verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And then verse 3. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the other one, please the one who has enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. Focused. Soldiers don't let themselves think about things outside of the battle that they are in, or it's not going to work good. Do you think that the guys that were taking Omaha Beach, do you think when they were in the middle of that thing, they were thinking about back home? Now, there's probably times when they had a second they were thinking about back home, but in the minute of it, they were thinking about how to get to a spot where they could fight from. There was no going back to that water. It was going forward onto the beach, and it was getting through it. There was no thought about something different. The prize was in the sight, the finished goal was in sight, and they had to continue through it. Fight intentionally, run intentionally, compete in all aspects. Turn over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 12. It said, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. The one who perseveres. Notice it doesn't say the one who goes through trials. Not the one who has tribulation. It's not the one who receives persecution. But it's the one who perseveres under trial. He will receive the crown of life. It's not about going through the trials. It's about fighting through them and continuing through them and remaining faithful through it all. It's about fighting with purpose. I recently was following a high school age sports team, and they were playing in not the final tournament, but the qualifier to get to the final tournament, and they just had to be in the top two to make the final tournament. And they end up playing the semifinal game. They won the semifinal game, and so they were into the championship in the first tournament. But they qualified for the last tournament, but they haven't won the first tournament yet. But they've secured second place. And the comment on the social media post about it was, "The boys got it done." And I was thinking to myself, what did they get done? To me, they've received nothing yet. They haven't won the first tournament. They haven't competed in the second tournament. All they've done is qualify. See, that's like saying, "Hey, so and so was immersed. They're now part of the faith. They got it done." That is not the finish. I remember basketball player, maybe not the best dude, but Kobe Bryant. They won. They had to win four out of seven to win the NBA Finals, and they jumped out to a 2-0 lead. They won the first two games, and everybody's all excited and celebrating. And in the press conference afterwards, he didn't have any smile on his face. He was just kind of answering the questions straight through. And they asked him, aren't you excited? Why aren't you happy? Why aren't you excited? And he said, "Because what's there to be excited for? Like, you're up two," and they said, "You're up 2-0." He said, "What? That doesn't mean nothing. So that we ain't won nothing yet. The job's not done yet. I see no reason to celebrate being up 2-0. Because you could still lose the next 4 games and lose the deal 4-2. But his mindset was he had not won anything yet. Nothing was finished yet. The job was not done yet. He couldn't be casual. He couldn't relax yet. Because it was not finished. Because that's how Christianity is. Just because we become part of the body of Christ doesn't mean we're going to remain there if we just hang out. We cannot be casual. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 23. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Period. Break in scripture. That's the end of the story. That's not the end of the story. Verse 26, as it continues on, because when they wrote this thing, as Kirk points out all the time, they didn't put chapter breaks. They didn't put verse breaks. It was all one deal. It was all one letter. It was written at the same time. It was spoke at the same time, however it was. But verse 23, 24, 25 are not separate from verse 26. Says they do all those things. In verse 26, it says, "For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of fire which will consume the adversaries." Just because we started the race does not mean we win the prize if we do not finish. You can run the first 99 miles faster than anybody's ever run the first 99 miles, but if you stop there, you're not going to finish the 100. Fight with a purpose, run with a purpose, endure, persevere, and continue on. Run with a purpose. The team that people thought have got it done, I think has a real potential to win the last tournament. I think they have the players. I think they have the ability to do that. But if they go into a mindset that, hey, we got here and that's good enough, then they're not going to win. Getting to a certain point is not good enough if you do not finish. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. One of my favorite passages, I read it all the time. Verse 6. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. See, Paul is looking forward. Paul is looking forward, and he has that purpose. He's going to receive that crown of righteousness. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance, and let the sin which so easily entangles us, we're going to start over in verse 1 because I messed it up there. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance, and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. When Jesus was going to the cross, he wasn't looking back and thinking about all the good times. He was looking forward. He was looking forward to sitting at the right hand of God on his throne, leading his army of and his family, leading us. Guys, it doesn't matter how old we are, what our health is, whatever it is, there is no guarantee of tomorrow. There is no guarantee of later today. But there is a guarantee of a crown of righteousness. There is a guarantee of that great and glorious prize of being with him forever if we finish the race because we have ran it with a purpose. Fix our eyes on Jesus. He has done it. Many have done it since him. And we can finish with the power that is in us in the Holy Spirit because we have set our mindset on things above and not on things on earth. And we understand that if we finish faithfully, we will receive that crown of righteousness that is waiting for us in glory forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the example that Jesus was for us, the example that Paul was for us, the example that so many others have been for us, Lord. Lord, I thank you so much for the ability that we have to know you, the chance that we have to to love you, to obey you, to follow you, Lord. And I just I thank you so much for the Holy Spirit that indwells us, that helps us to persevere through the tribulation, that helps us to fight through the tough times. Lord, I pray that we all remember that you are there to help us, that you are there calling us, and you are that shining light for us to run towards. And Lord, that if we just put our faith in you and we continue in you, we will be with you forever, and you will give us that eternal rest. Lord, I thank you so much for Jesus, and we just praise things in his name. Amen.